It's a secret. It's a secret. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. It's a secret. Everybody has secrets. They have so many secrets that you just wouldn't believe it. And all of their secrets are written all over them, but they think that they're secret. And they go around pretending that these secrets are hidden and that nobody knows about them. And then they sort of let the cat out of the bag. They let the secret be known by some little act that they do. One of the secrets that people hide so tremendously and so much and so often is the secret of their talent. That's why when Jesus gave the story in the Bible about the talents, that the money was given to each of the three servants, a lot to one servant, a little to another, and a very little to another. And each of the servants had the opportunity to go out and make the talent grow and expand. Now, the only way they could make the talent grow and expand was to invest it, to trust that their judgment was correct in whatever they invested in or in whatever they choose to do it. And the wealthy man, the wealthy consciousness, the one that got the most money, he just went right out and invested it whole hog and brought back wonderful returns. And the one with a minimum amount, he went out with a little trepidation, cautious, and invested it and came back with maybe double return, which is not bad. And the man who had no imagination at all, who was frightened to death that his master would not approve of it if he lost it or if he did not have it when the master got back, he put it in a jar and put it in the ground. He buried it. And when the master came home, they all brought out their money, and he brought out the jar, and he said, "Here you are. I buried the money as though it wouldn't be wasted and fretted away." And the master said, "Thank you." And he took the money. And from the servant who had the medium amount of money, he said, "Oh, how about that? Okay, here's a portion to you." And to the servant who had invested it so wisely, he says, "Go do it again. Take it and keep on promoting it. You're a very worthwhile person." Now, the person who invested wisely was a person with a lot of imagination. He wasn't afraid of his talent, the money. He wasn't afraid that it would be misused or that it would be wear out or use it up. Or anyway, he used it. Now, we have a young lady who is one of our graduate students, Katarina Suter, over in New Zealand. And Katarina writes beautifully when she writes, but she doesn't write very often. She is so busy with her projects, and she wrote a beautiful series of stories about a little child who was growing up in the early days of the Maoris in New Zealand. It was a charming story. The story had so much of the early culture, the early techniques of the way the people lived, and she had to use a lot of imagination because there were no books really written on that from that point of view. There are books that told of the archaeological studies being done on them and archaeological information, but none of the real-life potsherd, as they call it, the stuff that's out the back door of the house. And out the back door of the house are thrown the pots and the pans and the trash and stuff, which is the real indication of how the people lived. So she went to her mental potsherd, and she listened to the divine within, and she wrote some great stuff. Now, recently, or today in fact, she sent us a beautiful email, and in her email she writes so charmingly and so beautifully and so completely, telling us the story of a snowstorm. Now, how many of you or I would write a story about a snowstorm and have it be so charming that when you got done, you seemed as though you had just taken a walk through yesterday and today and felt so charming? Here's what she has to say. After 4 days of being snowed in without power, water, or telephone, we are now back and connected with the modern world of power and communication. It was a wonderful 4 days. There was no stress because there wasn't that much to do besides looking after the stock on the farm, carrying water from the river, and melting snow for drinking water. The snow gave us the illusion of living in a fairyland. Or was it the reality that most of us miss seeing while living our oh-so-busy lives? When you wanted to visit your neighbors, you walked through knee-deep snow, which was a fantastic exercise that made your face glow and healthy and your body felt warm and alive. The neighbors had ample time for cups of tea and stories. Lunches and dinners were shared and snowmen were built. Soups were always boiling on the log burners and wet gloves and socks were forever steaming in front of them. And she says of her many friends who attempted to get a hold of her, "I would like to thank all of my wonderful friends who tried to reach me, and all they got was a lonely beeping on the phone. I felt your love and care, as I believe that love travels through space and time and arrives perfectly where it is most needed." Here are a few pictures for you to enjoy. You see, in such a few words, maybe about 180, 200 words there, she has spelled out an entire adventure, charmingly done, beautifully done. She's got class, she's got style, she's got talent, and she's not using it. Now, who's to say that she must use it? Who's to say that she must be a writer? Well, the fact is, she just is a writer. When she writes so beautifully. Many other people are like that. We have another student, one of our graduate students, who was here at the same time Katerina was here, and his name is Stefan Stressley. Well, Stefan is now living in Switzerland again, and he has a class there that he teaches on positive thinking, and he does many wonderful counseling works and other things with his earned doctorate from us, and he is just proving himself to be a most amazing man. Well, he said to me, "Herb, I want to write a book." And I said, "Well, don't write a book." I said, "Write chapters, write articles that are as big as a chapter. And write articles that say what you want, because if you write a book, you get overwhelmed at times." So he started writing his articles, and he wrote them. And he said, "You know, Herb, I'd like to have you tell me about these, but I don't want you to see them before it's done, because I want this to be entirely my own, whatever my thinking is, whatever my way of doing it. In fact, I don't even want to talk to you about what my subject matter is. Things will come up, obviously, that will be my subject matter, and I can't stop it, you know, but I don't want to talk to you about it because I want it to be totally mine, totally mine. I respect that very much, because that takes a lot of courage to do that when he knows that I could editorialize with him and help him to make it even better. Well, he did it by himself. It took him a while. He did it by himself, and he finally got it together. He sent it to the publishers, and they're hem-hawing about it, but they are at least hem-hawing. And he sent a few copies around to friends like Ellen here, and Ellen has been reading his book. And Ellen says, "There's nothing new here, but it is said in such a beautiful way. It's written in German, and it's written in High German, but in the most charming, beautiful phrases that the German language is capable of producing. He has chosen words that speak volumes, and yet they're small words. They're words that everyone can readily understand. He has chosen phrases, and he has chosen illustrations to tell what he wants to talk about in such a beautiful and delightful way that as you read it, you feel like you're right there with him. You feel like you're right there inside of his pocket as he's talking about it. And some of the people you recognize, even though he has changed the names to protect the innocent, so to speak, but even though he's changed the name, you recognize him because these are people that you mutually know with him. And it's so beautiful. Now, I believe that the book is going to take, and it'll find a market, it'll find a publication, and it will be just one of the first of many of his wonderful opportunities to have the gentle genius that he is expressed through his writings. You know, he has tried to hide it all these years from us, but he can't, because everything he writes is written, beautifully written. Now we have another one, Christina Nussbaum. She wrote such a beautiful story for her thesis and her dissertation, and it was such a charming story, so lovely and so beautifully done. The children would just dearly love it, you know. And I'm having a difficult time getting her to do it. She said, well, I will do it. I will go into my computer room, and I will type on it, and I will write a book. And I said, don't write a book. I said, just write it, an article or a chapter, however you want to call it, just one at a time. And it can be disjointed or it can be united. It doesn't matter. But just do it. Well, now, here it is. How many years since the School of the Master at the year 2000? And she had finished that already. And Irene also has a very beautiful writing style. Irene has a writing style similar to Stefan's, where she touches into the heart and fabric of people's lives and just sort of gathers together the vibrations they have. And another most difficult person for me is Patricia Shifted, another one of our graduate students. And Patricia is just a difficult woman, a difficult woman. She tells stories about the work she does with patients as a caregiver and the wonderful adventures she has with them and how fantastic they are and how fantastic the people are. If she would just write this down, my, would she have a market? Would she have a wonderful market? Now, I can go on with many others who write beautifully too. And I was telling Sylvia, I said, Sylvia, you have a nice style. Write about something that is right out of your heart, not something that is going to fill a need. And Ellen, too. Ellen dashes off her column to get it done every month or every 4 months now. And she leaves it to the last minute. And then she wonders why the column is not as exciting as it could be. And Ingeborg, the old idiot Ingeborg, whenever I ask Ingeborg to write something significant, she writes it, and it's beautiful. Now, if she would write every week some beautiful thing out of those 52 beautiful articles, we could get a book, you know? A book telling all about whatever she believes the philosophy is and how she interprets the philosophy. And who knows? Maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't, but I know it's there. All of us have this wonderful talent, this wonderful ability, and we hide it, but we can't really hide it, because when we tell the stories, our imagination peeks right out from underneath our lid, and the world sees our imagination and says, hey, that was neat. That was lots of fun. That was great. And the same goes for many of our other students, and I can name them, but if I start naming, then I'll forget some, and we don't want to do that. That's why I left even some of the top ones off. But think about it. Think about it. You cannot hide, you cannot make a secret of your talent, because it'll come out. The world will know about it one of these days, whether it's writing or whether it's poetry or whether it's whatever. I had one young student who wanted to write poetry for me, and I said, great. So he wrote poetry, which was a poetry I had never seen before. And so I told him I didn't know that kind of poetry. I said, out of what book has he taken the style of poetry? Poetry usually has a style that you follow. And he says, oh, it's my own mind. And I said, well, that's great. But the thing is, you kind of call it, it's just poetic prose. And that's okay, too. Poetic prose is just fine. But don't try to think you're putting off poetry there. Because poetry has meter, it has rhyme, it has all these other things that have to be put into it. And if you're going to do one type or another, you got to follow through. So whatever your style of writing is, if you're intellectual, then be intellectual. Nobody wants to read it, truly. If you're emotional, be emotional. That takes a lot of art. If you're caring and friendly and loving, that's what most of us are. And that's what most of us can write and do. So I suggest that to you today. You unleash that hidden giant within you, that wonderful wildest dream that you have and let it out in your writing. And every day, sit down for 10, 20 minutes and write something beautiful. Just take a topic like orange peels, you know, something silly, you know, or a glowing candle, or my first kiss, or something, you know, whatever it is. Just take the world full of topics, you know, tea kettles, you know, or anything happy or silly or anything, and just write and write and write. That's what I do with the Thought for Today and Instant Illumination and Absolute Philosopher. Just take a topic and go for it. Now, you can too. And I bet you'd just surprise yourself to pieces with how good you are. I know how good you are. I can see right through this blockade you put up before me, not showing me your talent. And I know it's there. And I know one day it'll be out with I can see it. Have a good day. No, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.